Thursday, October 1st, 1942. Dear Kitty, yesterday I had a horrible fright. At 8 o'clock, the doorbell suddenly rang. All I could think of was that someone was coming to get us. You know who I mean. But I calmed down when everybody swore it must have been either pranksters or the mailman. The days here are very quiet. Mr. Levinson, a little Jewish pharmacist and chemist, is working for Mr. Kugler in the kitchen. Since he's familiar with the entire building, we're in constant dread that he'll take it into his head to go have a look at what used to be the laboratory. We're as still as baby mice. Who would have guessed 3 months ago that Quicksilver Anne would have to sit so quietly for hours on end, and what's more, that she could? Mrs. Van Dan's birthday was the 29th. Though we didn't have a large celebration, she was showered with flowers, simple gifts, and good food. Apparently, the red carnations from her spouse are a family tradition. Let me pause a moment on the subject of Mrs. Van Dan and tell you that her attempts to flirt with Father are a constant source of irritation to me. She pats him on the cheek and head, hikes up her skirt, and makes so-called witty remarks in an effort to get Pim's attention. Fortunately, he finds her neither pretty nor charming, so he doesn't respond to her flirtations. As you know, I'm quite the jealous type, and I can't abide her behavior. After all, Mother doesn't act that way towards Mr. Van D, which is what I told Mrs. Van D right to her face. From time to time, Peter can be very amusing. He and I have one thing in common. We like to dress up, which makes everyone laugh. One evening, we made our appearance with Peter in one of his mother's skin-tight dresses and me in his suit. He wore a hat and I had a cap on. The grown-ups split their sides laughing and we enjoyed ourselves every bit as much. Bep bought new skirts for Margot and me at the Bayenkorf. The fabric is hideous, like the burlap bag potatoes come in. Just the kind of thing the department stores wouldn't dare sell in the olden days, now costing 24 guilders, Margot's, and 7 3/4 guilders, mine. We have a nice treat in store. Bep's ordered a correspondence course in shorthand for Margot, Peter, and me. Just you wait, by this time next year, we'll be able to take perfect shorthand. In any case, learning to write a secret code like that is really interesting. I have a terrible pain in my index finger on my left hand, so I can't do any ironing. What luck! Mr. Van Dan wants me to sit next to him at the table since Margot doesn't eat enough to suit him. Fine with me, I like changes. There's always a tiny black cat roaming around the yard, and it reminds me of my dear sweet Mortje. Another reason I welcome the change is that Mama's always carping at me, especially at the table. Now Margot will have to bear the brunt of it, or rather, won't, since Mother doesn't make such sarcastic remarks to her. Not to that paragon of virtue. I'm always teasing Margot about being a paragon of virtue these days, and she hates it. Maybe it'll teach her not to be such a goody-goody. High time she learned. To end this hodgepodge of news, a particularly amusing joke told by Mr. Van Dan. What goes click 99 times and clack once? A centipede with a club foot. Bye-bye, Anne. Saturday, October 3rd, 1942. Dear Kitty, everybody teased me quite a bit yesterday because I lay down on the bed next to Mr. Van Dan. At your age, shocking, and other remarks along those lines. Silly, of course. I'd never want to sleep with Mr. Van Dan the way they mean. Yesterday, Mother and I had another run-in, and she really kicked up a fuss. She told Daddy all my sins and started to cry, which made me cry too, and I already had such an awful headache. I finally told Daddy that I love him more than I do Mother, to which he replied that it was just a passing phase, but I don't think so. I simply can't stand Mother, and I have to force myself not to snap at her all the time and to stay calm when I'd rather slap her across the face. I don't know why I've taken such a terrible dislike to her. Daddy says that if Mother isn't feeling well or has a headache, I should volunteer to help her. But I'm not going to because I don't love her and don't enjoy doing it. I can imagine Mother dying someday. But Daddy's death seems inconceivable. It's very mean of me, but that's how I feel. I hope Mother will never read this or anything else I've written. I've been allowed to read more grown-up books lately. Ava's Youth by Nico van Zuchtelen is currently keeping me busy. I don't think there's much of a difference between this and books for teenage girls. Ava thought that children grew on trees, like apples, and that the stork plucked them off the tree when they were ripe and brought them to the mothers. but her girlfriend's cat had kittens and Ava saw them coming out of the cat, so she thought cats laid eggs and hatched them like chickens, and that mothers who wanted a child also went upstairs a few days before their time to lay an egg and brood on it. After the babies arrived, the mothers were pretty weak from all that squatting. At some point, Ava wanted a baby too. She took a wool scarf and spread it on the ground so the egg could fall into it, and then she squatted down and began to push. She clucked as she waited, but no egg came out. Finally, after she'd been sitting for a long time, something did come, but it was a sausage instead of an egg. Ava was embarrassed. She thought she was sick. Funny, isn't it? There are also parts of Ava's youth that talk about women selling their bodies on the street and asking loads of money. I'd be mortified in front of a man like that. In addition, it mentions Ava's menstruation. Oh, I long to get my period. Then I'll really be grown up. Daddy is grumbling again and threatening to take away my diary. Oh, horror of horrors. From now on, I'm going to hide it. Anne Frank.